we are not our mistakes. We are not. So I think distinguishing those moments, because it's not if we're going to mess up, it's just a matter of when, right? Yeah. So if we know that that's not our identity, it's never in our mistakes, but that's our moment to come to God.
Welcome to More Than Small Talk. We're Susie Eller,
Jennifer Watson,
and Holly Girth, writers and real life friends. We're inviting you to go deeper, become freer, and feel more connected.
So imagine you have a cup of coffee, a mug of tea, or a green smoothie in your hand,
and we're all hanging out in your living room together.
Welcome back to More Than Small Talk. We have a light topic this week. It's easy. It's fun. You know, we all just chat about this when we're in coffee shops and on the couch at night. So, yes, this week we are talking about shame.
Yeah. Who brought this up? Well, this week's confession question is actually based on two questions that we received from listeners. Elizabeth asked this question: why do I still not feel worthy of God's love? And Renee said, what are some ways a person can overcome shame? And we just tied those together. I think they go together. So this week's confession question is, do you ever feel shame or unworthy of God's love? And if so, what makes you feel this way? I think we need to define shame before we go any further. Really do. I think it's important. How do you define shame?
I would say shame is a feeling of not just I've done something bad, but I'm bad. There's something wrong with me. Like, it's a deeper level than guilt. It's about who we are, not just our actions.
Yeah. And it's not conviction. Conviction is knowing, hey, I did something that I wish I hadn't. Right. And I'm convicted about that. So I'm going to resolve it and do better.
Yeah.
That's conviction.
Conviction is very specific.
Yeah.
And it's calling us back to the people we are.
Yeah.
Beloved. And, you know, but shame is very general.
Right.
And it tells us that we are not who God says we are.
Right.
And I think when we feel shame, we want to hide.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
So I think, you know, it started with Adam and Eve when they sinned. What did they do? They ran and hid. They were ashamed. And so I think that shame is a lot of where those secrets and those hidden things where we just feel like we've got to hide them. So I think that that's what shame means to me, is that that feeling that I want to hide something about me.
And shame leads to secrets, which leads to isolation, which can lead to addiction. It can lead to depression. It can lead to completely defining yourself opposite of the way that God sees you. It can take you down some roads.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my pastors likes to say, you're only as sick as your secrets.
Yeah.
And I think that's true. And why this is important, you know, I mean, it's not light and happy and fun, but I think shame is something that undermines a lot of us. And so bringing it out into the open and saying, you know what, this is also a universal human emotion. Yeah. Like, the research shows every person in every culture, unless they are completely psychotic, experiences shame.
And we use it against ourselves, and it can also be used to try to manipulate others into being what you think they should be.
Yeah.
So I thought that that was really important to know what shame is and what it isn't before we ask this question. So have you ever felt shame or unworthy of God's love? And if so, what makes you feel this way?
Thinking about Elizabeth asking, you know, why do I still not feel worthy of God's love? I think it's because we listen to the wrong voices. We're listening to the enemy's voice. So when there have been moments that I say, okay, I do not feel worthy of God's love right now, that's when I'm in the middle of a big messy moment where I feel like I've disappointed someone or I've disappointed myself. So then I start to feel like I'm not worthy of God's love if I've just kind of bombed and, you know, made a mess of things.
Yeah. And I think for me, there have been periods in my life when I have felt shame because I absolutely did the wrong thing.
Yeah.
You know, I stepped into that angry moment, or I completely went the opposite of what I knew was healthy. So the way that I reacted was I felt sad about it. Mm-hmm. I was frustrated with myself. And so I heaped shame on me. Mm-hmm. It was never helpful.
No,
it was never helpful. Conviction could have brought me down a very different road than that. There was an alternative road I could have taken. There was an exit off of the shame highway into something healthier.
Yeah. Yeah. And when I went off to college, I was the good youth group girl and I decided to rebel and make all the choices that were not helpful. And I experienced a lot of shame in that period, you know, especially drinking is something that a lot of college students do. And I fell into that for a while. And, you know, I would just wake up and think, what have I done? This is not who I am. And just be covered in shame. But like we said, instead of going to God and saying, okay, how do I make a different choice? Yeah. I just thought I have to get my act together and then go to back to God, you know, and that would drive me to just drink more the next night to get rid of those feelings of guilt and anxiety and being separated from him. And so what actually brought about change was when I realized I didn't have to wait until I had it together to go back to him, that God actually comes for us in those places.
Yes, he pursues us.
Yes.
Yeah, I've been reading in the Old Testament just for the last several months, actually, and I've been in the prophets. And I'm telling you, it is meaty and chewy and hard. Mm-hmm. But what I see is the heart of God crying out to his people, come into the light.
Yeah.
You know, I see that because of your sin or because of your choices, you're going the complete opposite direction. And God pursued them. There are verses that say, in the pit, I find you.
Yeah.
You know?
And that it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. There's a verse that says that. And so I know, like, we know in this world that there are people listening right now that you're in the middle of an affair or you drank the entire bottle of wine last night or you took the money out of the cash drawer at work and you're thinking, I've done what's unforgivable. This is who I am now. And we just want to speak into that and say, no, that's a choice you made. Yes, God has better for you. But let him into that place. Let him into that place right now, today, and say, I don't want to live this way
anymore. Come into the light.
Yes, come into the light and know that you are loved.
Yes.
That this is not your identity. This is not your destiny. It's never too late to make it right because God is still there for you.
Yeah.
And don't let shame win.
Yeah. That's so good. I want to speak to the woman who is sitting there because I've been you, who... it's not an affair and it's not drinking or, but you have, as a parent, just completely fallen short and you feel such shame because your heart is to be the best mom you know how to be. And you know that you weren't shown how to be a mom and it's something you work at really, really hard. It matters to you, but today was an awful day for you. And you feel such shame because you feel like, oh man, I'm going to do exactly all the things that I never wanted to do. And I want to tell you that one bad day doesn't make you a bad person. Right. And one bad day doesn't mean you have a bad life. It is one bad day, my friend.
Yeah.
You know, it is one bad day and we all have them. And you are called to be that mama. And there are other mamas who understand exactly what you're going through. And I just want to tell you that learn and grow through today's mistakes and start fresh again tomorrow. And don't look back. Say you're sorry. Make amends for what you are ashamed of. But in conviction and in growth and keep going.
I think it's so important for our identity to not be tangled up with our mistakes, because we are not our mistakes. We are not. So I think distinguishing those moments, because it's not if we're going to mess up, it's just a matter of when, right? So if we know that we are, that's not our identity. It's never in our mistakes, but that's our moment to come to God. And so what's going to help us fight shame? What's going to help us fight this?
Yeah. Well, and I want to ask you a question, Jennifer, because like you seem like the world's best mom. Like she loves her girls. She is, and her girls love her back and they say really cool things about her on social media so the whole world can see. And so somebody might look at you and say, Jennifer never has a bad day or feels shame as a mom.
Oh, and that's not true at all. I know that I'm a good mom, but I'm not a perfect mom. And there's been moments when I yell and lose my cool. And there's times where they're eating Pop-Tarts for dinner and all the Pinterest moms hate me, but that's okay. But I'm not those messy moments. And I'm just a mom that keeps saying, I'm sorry.
That's really cool, right there.
That's what I do. I own my mess.
Yeah.
And I own my moments when I'm having and I'll say it. And I say, I'm sorry a lot to them, you know, like I'm sorry for losing my cool, or I'm sorry for not, you know, meeting that need for you, whatever it is. But I always apologize because I want them to know that they're going to have mistakes too. And they can just say, I'm sorry, and start over.
That's because, a shame breaker right there.
Right. I mean, I think that grace covers the multitude of sins. That's what the scriptures say. So when we show our children how to do that.
Yeah.
And we do that for ourselves.
Yeah.
That's a shame breaker.
Yeah. My kids are grown now. We had a rule in our home called a do-over, basically. And that meant that any of us could say, we could stop it right in the middle of the mess and say, man, can we just start over?
Yeah, that's good.
You know, and we're able then to start fresh and do what we know in our heart we want to be and want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Jennifer, you're not only a mom, you're a pastor's wife.
Yes.
And a youth director.
Yes.
Yes.
And so I imagine there are people listening who say, because of the shame I have, I don't belong with God's people anymore. So what would you say to them? The people who are thinking, you know, if my pastor knew, or if my pastor's wife knew, like, I can't darken the door of a church again. And because I have this going on in my life.
I think that we all have our things. We all need Jesus. We all have our messy moments and our long list of records of wrongs, but we also have a really grace-giving God. And I would say whatever you have done in the past will never disqualify you from being who God's called you to be for right now and for your future. So what we think might limit us, or our broken stories, those don't disqualify us. Those point to our mission field.
So we're talking about what will help with this. And I think one thing is just bringing it out into the light in some way, you know, and there's a group here of women in our local town run by Angie Cox. If she's listening, give her a shout out. But they do a series every summer called This Is My Story. Mm. And women just stand up and they say their story, the messy and the broken and where God has healed them, what they're still struggling with. And it's so freeing and powerful. And most of us are probably not ready to get on a stage and be like, hey, here's all the things.
No.
There's a time and a place, and we will know when God asks us to do that. We need to do so with a lot of wisdom and discernment and being very intentional. But I think even, like we say a lot on here, just telling one person, you know, this is what's really going on with me. And I did that last year. When I was going through a really hard time, I actually called a friend and just said, you know what? I've fallen into something that I thought I was done struggling with, and I need help. And we met, and she prayed with me over a series of weeks, and we did some deeper work that helped me get free. Like, we got to the root of what it was really about.
Yeah.
But it was terrifying to pick up the phone. Terrifying. Mm-hmm. I thought, she's never going to think the same of me again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in a way that was true. She told me recently that she loves me more than ever mm-hmm. before. And I think that's a surprising thing we find. If we wisely choose who to share with, that we find out we're loved more than we knew.
Yeah. You know, the whole time we've been doing this, my phone has been buzzing. And I finally threw it in my purse to get it far away because there's this conversation going on between friends. And it started with a friend saying, hey, here's something that I feel, and I don't like feeling this way, and I'm just going to put it out there. And I think that's so brave.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's so courageous, because the opposite of shame is transparency.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And transparency leads to transformation. Mm-hmm. And here she had these friends, and it, like I said, my phone is just buzzing off the wall because they're saying, you know, thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. How can we pray for you? Listen, I have felt that way too in the past, but here's another thing to think about. So take it to the light. Take it to a healthy light.
Yeah.
The light of Christ is a healthy light. Yeah. A godly friend is a healthy light. A counselor is a healthy light.
Yeah. Don't do it on social media.
No. No.
We say that over and over again. And it's just, that's a hard lesson learned when you throw it out there. I remember throwing it out on social media that, like, I didn't like beards. And, like, this is such a non-issue thing. And, like, I had people on there like, how dare you? My husband has a beard and I love him. And so people are always ready to debate and just get at you. Mm-hmm. So social media is never the place to do it. No. Just resist the urge.
And I think that that step, you know, what Holly said, going to someone and talking to a friend, that I had to do that the other day. And she, and this was my accountability partner, but I knew that I was struggling in my thought life. And I said, I need to share this with you because shame is in secrets. And I didn't want to just, I didn't want to fight it alone. Yeah. I knew that I needed to kind of step up and make myself accountable in that area. And she prayed over me and she was like, I'm really proud of you because that was a really hard thing for you to do. But yeah, like Holly said, this friend loved me even more because I showed her this area of weakness in my life. Yeah. It was powerful.
Yeah. And I think when we do that, we give other people permission to bring their things into the light too. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the areas of our biggest struggle often end up being the areas of our greatest ministry.
Yes. Yeah.
Amen. And so I think one way the enemy tries to stop us from being effective is saying, you can never tell anyone about that.
I agree.
So saying, you know what? I can. You know, we overcome, Revelation says, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And the word of our testimony isn't about just the good things. It's about the hard, shameful things. When you look at the life of David in scripture, some of the parts of his life that speak to me most look like they should be, you know, in a Lifetime movie on. It's not pretty and it's not cleaned up. So if God didn't choose to clean up the stories of people in scripture, then again, with wisdom and discernment, we can share those parts of our stories too.
Well, and I will say this. It's important, too, that we understand that another human being cannot fix you.
Yes. Right.
And it is not their job and it is not their role. And so you can get real codependent if you put it out there and you think suddenly, okay, this person is going to be my, you know, they're going to heal me. They're going to show me. God is our source. Mm-hmm. God is our source. A gifted counselor can be a source in the hands of God. But if you find yourself in a place to where suddenly you feel like that this person, you have to talk to this person or you're not going to be okay. Check that.
Yeah.
Check that and look for a healthy light. Yeah.
Well, and David had a long list of offenses and mess ups. He was a bad parent. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. I mean, like he did it all and he was still a man after God's own heart. And that all comes to a repentant heart. So I think that knowing that even those mess ups, they're not going to disqualify you from God's true calling for your life.
Okay, friends, you know, sometimes conversations are harder and I think that's okay. I do. I think it's okay for us to talk about. In fact, I think it's important. This is more than small talk to talk about shame because we want to live shameless, right? And so I want to invite you today to come to the More Than Small Talk Facebook group and join us. You'll answer a couple of questions and you'll be added into the group. It is the fourth chair on steroids. We want you in there. We want to share our lives and live videos and get to know you better. And if you join this week, we are doing a giveaway of a $25 gift card to dayspring.com to choose anything that you would like. And then I also want to remind you, we are with the KLRC Podcast Network. Go to klrc.com. It is one of the best radio stations in the world. Listen to it live stream while you work, while you play, and be encouraged by others. Seek that light.
And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for going deeper, becoming freer, and connecting with us. More Than Small Talk is a part of the KLRC Podcast Network and is produced by Kara Culver. Show notes and resources are available on the More Than Small Talk page on klrc.com. You can also join us in the More Than Small Talk Facebook group. Subscribe to More Than Small Talk on your favorite podcast app so you won't ever miss an episode.